we have assembled here on the 18th of December, 2016, to receive the blessings of Christ. And this is just 1 week away from Christmas, so we actually will be having a Christmas blessing. Believe it or not, we will. I just feel it's a tremendous opportunity to send blessings to the world on the day that so many people are sharing their love for one another and their love for God. There are not many days of the year when billions of people are following the two commandments that Yeshua left us, which is to love God with all our heart and each other as ourselves. And of all the days in the year when that is most likely to happen is Christmas Day. So the opportunity for sending blessings on that day, I think, is extraordinary. Therefore, I will turn today into more than just good wishes, happiness, and love for being in a spirit of joy and faith and giving and just the treasure of the moment for this week preceding Christmas. We have a special opportunity to offer a blessing this week, and it's with a heavy heart that I bring this up, but I want to be the first to mention it. Our blessing givers, or at least the ones that check in on our group blessing site, know about it. We lost one of our most dedicated, faithful blessing givers this last week on Friday to a very tragic event. She was serving in a place in the world which is very dangerous to be a Christian, and especially if you're a public Christian, and most especially if you're a woman. She was shot and killed on Friday. And she leaves behind a 14-year-old son, Denny. Her name was Becky Ikala Irikli. I don't know that I said it exactly correct, because I just called her Becky. And she was and is a lovely, beautiful soul who actually became a blessing teacher so that she could make the teaching of Christ's blessing available in that part of the world, which made her even more dangerous. And she leaves behind a small group of dedicated blessing givers in that part of the world. So for their safety and for their sadness in losing her, we also want to offer a very, very special blessing today. And that being said, I would like to open our line to other participants in our community. I don't always have a name. This one is from area code 407, and your line is on. So, hi.
Hi, Glenda. It's Mary Beth Ashley.
Hi, Mary Beth.
I'm doing so much better, and I have had amazing, amazing financial gifts from the universe. I'm just totally blown away. Yeah, it's amazing. And that's something that I've struggled with for quite a while. Now, the one concern I still have, I'd like to have a blessing, is I'm on blood pressure medicine for the first time in my life, and my feet and ankles are really swollen. And I'm not very active, so I know I need to be more active. So I would like to ask for a blessing that those return to normal. And then the other request I have, my niece's service dog, Oliver, he has major health challenges going on, and I would like to ask for blessings for him.
Oliver. Okay.
Oliver. Yes.
He's a wonderful dog.
Yeah. So I thank you so much for all your blessings. It's, you know, God is in the midst of all of these challenges, that's for sure. And I've learned how to trust in a way that I've been seeking and not been able to in the past.
You know, sometimes that is the greatest blessing of all.
Yep.
It is. As, you know, we can catch a fish and give it for charity, or we can teach a man how to fish. And I think one of the greatest gifts we can give to one another is faith. How to be in a state of faith and what faith is. And I'll talk a little bit more about that as we go through the call today. But we have a call from Gina, and I want to hear what you have to say. Hi, Gina. I'm trying to open your line. There you go.
Hi, Glenda. Hello. Merry Christmas. I just want to say thank you to the group, to you, for providing this for us. My blessing came true within almost 2.5 hours after the call last week. I found
that's great.
Yes. I found a social media manager, and I guess it's fitting what you started out the call with for Becky, because my online business that I'm starting is all about empowering women. And so I guess it's meant to be. I'd like to ask for financial blessings so that I can keep paying them and keep this going once I get it started. I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you, God.
Oh, you are so welcome. And thank you for sharing back. Because, you know, the successes we each have because of faith helps us all more easily to determine what faith feels like. It's very, very hard to teach someone what faith is, because it's like trying to say what God is, who God is, what the face of God looks like. It's bigger than we are. You see, faith by the very nature of what it is and its power has to be bigger than the problem. It has to be bigger than the horizon, because it's what creates that envelope of safety that encourages us and allows us to move forward into our future. It's not like driving without headlights. Some people have so misdefined faith. I really have a reluctance to try and I don't want to define it. I just want you to feel it, and I want to give you feedback of what it does, what it provides, and what it's not. It's not driving without headlights into a dark night. That's not what faith is. Faith is not trusting in the hazard zone. Faith is that which dissolves our sense of fear in a hazard zone, so that we become bigger than the problem. When we become bigger than the problem, we engage with larger possibilities for healing, discovery, management, opportunity, and receiving. And then in the receiving, for the expression of gratitude. So together, as we receive our blessings and we share them, we give to each other the feeling of what faith is and what it means to us. And I know that now, in her transition, Becky could offer to a lot of us her sense of faith, that despite the danger, she progressed into her life's work, and not only did she leave a son who is filled, at least so I hear, with more faith than grief, she also just finished a book about instilling faith in children. And this happened shortly after her book was complete. So I know that she gives me courage and will give courage to those who knew her to live their faith and to move forward and to deny the spirit of fear, which kills our faith. I know one thing. Faith is not about progressing with courage despite your fear. I know it's not that, because we just give power to our fear when we do that. It's about actually dispelling our fear and living in the joy of life every moment that we move forward in life, every moment on this earth. And I can only think that this is what Mother Mary would have had to feel every day of her life. Because I'm sure she knew from the beginning, from the time she conceived this wonderful child, that he would be facing a life of challenge and most likely one with tragedy. She knew from the very beginning that she would have to endure a life of suffering on his behalf. But I don't think there was a day in her life that she did not have joy. How could she not have joy with that marvelous child to wake up to every day? To touch, to hold, to enjoy with smiles, and to play with, and to feel in him the sense of love and transcendence, so that every moment of every day just becomes larger. It doesn't have to have a particular finite answer. We don't ever have a moment in life that it's just a done deal until the time we actually leave this earthly plane. We move from moment to moment with joy and challenge, with obstacles and success, with opportunities and problems. Every moment of life is spent in some formula of progression. And I believe faith is that which takes all of these things, the joy, the problem, the opportunity, the challenge, the love, the sadness, all of it, and expands it all beyond any visible horizon, so that the ground we stand on is bigger than we ever thought it could be. You see, I think it's our own perception of smallness that makes our problems so hard to solve. I think it's our own perception of smallness that makes it so difficult for us to receive, especially receiving a blessing from God. Because, my goodness, how can I receive a blessing and still be small? I've got to stay small or I wouldn't know myself. I've got to stay inadequate or I wouldn't be who I think I am. In other words, we become so attached to our perception of self that we're afraid for it to change, even for the better. I have counseled people now I've spiritually counseled them now for 25 years. But before that, I began teaching when I was 22 years old. That was 50 years ago. When I became a portraitist, you know, the biggest thing I had to deal with was to get people to believe that they really, really were significant enough and important enough for me to paint them really, actually the way they were. And I'm going to use that as an analogy basis for this message, because I'm a realistic painter, as you know. But I'm not a negative realist. I don't look for defects. I don't look for warts and moles on the face. I don't look for wrinkles. I don't look for gray hairs. I don't look for elements of stress. I don't look for the scars of life. I don't look for those things. Actually, as a portraitist, I looked so deep inside a person. Sometimes it would scare them, what I saw. It really would. Because I would see them 10 years or 20 years down the road, not looking more ancient, not looking in any way but the best, but more developed, more sophisticated, more fulfilled. And it was scary. Literally was scary. And they were so afraid that I would paint something that was a well-earned character mark. That they would tell me, now don't do this. I don't like this side of my face. It shows this, that, or something. They would coach me on what they thought was their best feature. I had some women tell me how much they wanted this portrait to be a substitute for plastic surgery. They really didn't want to go under the knife, but they wanted everyone to remember them kind of the way they were when they were 18 years old, but looking a little more like they were 35 years old. I had conversations like this. Bold, blatant conversations. And what it revealed to me was self-denial, an inability to accept themselves as they were, and to see everything about themselves as being worthy, beautiful, and badge of achievement. I, as you know, I'm one of the most positive people you'll ever meet. Not as positive as Yeshua. I don't compare myself to him. I don't compare myself to the saints of life. But compared to ordinary people, you'll rarely meet anyone who is going to see more of the best in someone else than me. Really, I could take a mole and make it look like somebody acquired it because it would make them more beautiful. A little bit like that little beauty spot that that we all love on the face of Marilyn Monroe. We don't see it as a negative thing. It's part of her beauty. Well, I had the ability to take almost anything and make it look wonderful on a person, because it was about the grandeur of their character. But you see, when a person wants to see themselves as small and inadequate, every flaw triggers that. Every little gray hair triggers it. I don't think I ever had a client, with the exception of a couple I have right now, I don't think I ever had a client who didn't go to the beauty shop before having a sitting with me. That was insecurity. Not insecurity about me, but insecurity about themselves. And a need to control the perception I had about them. The fact is, I always saw them as being better than they saw themselves. I always did. I always saw them as being more than they were. And it just scared them to death. Do you know, I had a portrait rejected once by a woman who said, I can never live up to that. It's true. I could never live up to that. And I said, but you wanted me to paint the best. And she said, yeah, but I wanted you just to paint what my girlfriends would be jealous of. I didn't want you to paint something that would make me really look better than they are. Now they'll hate me. And inside I went, oh, my God. Oh, my God, I don't believe I just heard that. And this was before I had my spiritual feet fully on the ground. So I just said, okay, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to just keep this for a few days, a week, a month, and I'm going to let you think about it, okay? And I want you to come back, and I want you to look at it again, and then I want you to come back and look at it again. She did. And finally, she came back, and she said, I don't know if I can ever live up to this, but I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity. That, my friends, is one of the last portraits I ever painted. It's true. I was one of the leading portraitists in the world. I had portraits in being hung in the National Gallery, in the Metropolitan Museum in New York, one acquired for the permanent collection at the Smithsonian Institution, one hung briefly in the National Gallery of London, in the Louvre, in the Prado. I was recommended by staff members, curators, at the Metropolitan Museum when corporations would call and ask for references for a portrait painter. I could literally have made a fortune and been extremely famous as a portraitist. God gave me the gift of seeing people as they are. And I saw them as they are and the best of what they are. But I couldn't live. I couldn't live with their self-deprecation combined with vanity. On the one hand, they would be deprecating the self they were, and then covering up for that with shallow vanity. And I just didn't have the maturity of character at that young point in my life to deal with it. So I abandoned it, and I began to create, well, to do creative portraits of people in creative environments that I would hope people would see as models and templates for a more beautiful life. And by the way, I want to thank those of you who supported me in the auction this last week, because we really do need funds for Spiritus Church. And it made a difference that you stepped in. And I'm so glad that some of you were able to acquire paintings that I did in those years between my portrait years and the time when Yeshua showed up. And I guess he came about and he says, okay, Glenda, now here I am. I'm someone, I can take you. I can stand up to it because I know who I am. And I'm going to show you who I am. But in the process, the bigger deal is I'm going to show you who you are. And I'm going to help you show the world who they are. Other people who they are. You see, the problem I had as a portraitist is the problem we're all having dealing with one another. People feel so deeply inadequate in the truth of their being, and yet they're covering it up with layers and layers of insecure, easily damaged, fragile vanity, which we call ego. And ego is not always the vainglorious display of pride that sometimes we think of as ego. Sometimes ego can be anything that's not who you are. It could just be the manager of a company who's lost as a person underneath the fact that he or she holds the title of manager and has developed a really tough coat of armor that nobody can get through. Tough, insensitive, driven by demands of getting the targets made every week, and not feeling anything. It may be someone who looks plain and ordinary and bland on the surface. You wouldn't even think as having an ego. But I guarantee you, there are layers and layers and layers of false creation on top of a sense of inadequacy and inability to truly be the person they are. And if the person they are would just shine, you would see in a heartbreak, not in a heartbreak, a heartbeat, I mean, a breaking of the shells and a glowing of light. And I like to think that that's what Christmas is all about. That's why we light the trees. That's why we hang lights on our home. That's why we light up the villages. We light up the towns. We light up our hearts. And we give to those who may have been ignored to let them know that everyone's important. We give to ourselves light and hope and courage. And we find within ourselves the real person that we've been ignoring. This is a time when you can give a present to yourself. And the biggest present you can give is honoring the self that you are, that has the courage to live, even though all of your outer needs may not have been met, even though you still have challenge, even though you still feel insecure. Have the courage to simply be the love that you are. And I think this is the gift. I like to think the week before Christmas is the gift of Mary, the gift when she must have had so much courage, so much, much courage. Whether it really happened at this time of year or another time of year, we know that in the week before he was born, she rode on a donkey, heavy with child. And just think about that golden light inside her, and she wondering, who in the world am I that I have been chosen for this? How in the world will I possibly live the life I have been chosen to live? What are the challenges I have ahead of me that I don't know how to handle? Can you imagine the prayers she would have prayed? the angels she would have called forth, the love that would have been surrounding her, and the courage of her precious husband, Joseph, to just simply be there, possibly feeling so inadequate. Who am I to be here, to be in this presence of this amazing child that has come here from heaven, and I have been chosen to be his earthly parent? How in the world can I do this? And yet, inside him was a light. And in order to confirm that, there was the light in the heavens, the starlight, guiding wise men to places unknown. And they would think, where in the world are we going? How in the world will we get there? How will we discover who is this we're being told to find? What will we encounter along the way? Who will know how to help us? How will we possibly get there? This, my friends, is faith. This is faith in action. This is real faith. The faith of allowing that bright light inside that is the truth of your being, guiding you through the unknown passages of life, despite the fact that the outer personality, the outer person, the outer character feels so inadequate to make the journey. And again, we don't know if it was actually this time of year when it happened, but this is a perfect time of year to celebrate it. Because at least in the Northern Hemisphere, this is the dark time of the year. The time when we are led into the outer darkness where we can only travel by the inner light of our soul, the inner light of our being. And that most perfectly symbolizes and characterizes the light of Christ. That he came at such a dark time of human history, at such a dark time of the human soul, at such a dark time of faith in the history of the Jewish people, at such a dark time even for the Roman Empire. It was certainly not at its prime either. At such a dark time of human presence, when we needed a spark to transform us from the inside out. And whenever we are transformed from the inside out, my friends, that is faith in action. God gives us the power from the inside out. And that was ultimately the totality of the message of Christ to me. In every chapter of the book, it was just given to me in a different venue for different reasons with different examples in every chapter. Different contexts, different conclusions, different ways of explaining it, but it was all about the rebirth of the self from the inside out. And now it's time for our blessing today. And let it prepare you for this week, the week approaching this most amazing and beautiful time, the winter solstice, at least in the Northern Hemisphere. And those of you in the Southern Hemisphere, you experienced it 6 months ago, so you know what it's all about. And symbolically, it's the same thing. And that's what matters the wisdom and the truth contained within it. Let us begin and be ready for our blessing. Be seated for those who are receiving. Those who stand with me to offer the blessing, be standing. I will say a prayer to Yeshua when I'm complete. You continue on with the prayers of your life. Dear Yeshua, we pray in great expectation and gratitude for that time of year when we celebrate the arrival of your light on earth. We saw it celebrated in the heavens. We saw it celebrated by the majesty of those who rule the earth. We saw it feared by those who dread the revelation of the truth. We saw it sought in faith by the faithful. We saw it carried inside the body, the precious body of Mary, protected and guided by the beautiful, precious Joseph, awaited in Bethlehem by the shepherds and the common people to whom you would be born. For in your presence, no one is common. Only the outer shell inside all of us is a light, which is the presence of God born in us, that has the power to transform our life, the life of each person. And thank you for bringing us an example of that truth. Only by being one of us could you demonstrate that truth. And that precious life we are about to celebrate in the beginning a week from today. Let us hold every day this week holy, everyone. And we ask, O Lord, that you be with us each day to bring your blessings, your forgiveness, for all that we don't understand. And really, it was that which was your greatest word of forgiveness. Forgive them, for they do not understand. Help us to understand who we truly are. Help us to understand why we have created our outer shell of inadequacy, why we suffer, and why others are less than they could be as well. Help us to forgive others. Help us to seek, as you've taught us to do, because in our seeking we will find. Help us to knock and know that the door will be opened, as you taught us to do. Be with us in your glorious presence. Be with each one who has prayed for a blessing today. And I ask that you especially be with our newest blessing giver in heaven, Becky. And I ask that she join us from the lighted heights of heaven to give her blessing unto us, as she can do more perfectly now than even when she stood upon the earth, as you, our dear Lord, can do every day with us. Amen. And blessing givers, let us begin. Amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, it's time for you to receive the fullness of it by resting and just being quiet. Don't think. Certainly don't pray. Don't say words. Nothing. Nothing at all from your mind. And just allow your heart to be an open receptacle. Your body, your soul, your being. An open receptacle for all that can be given now and received now from the grace of God, the love of Christ, and the power, the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. Bye-bye for now. See you next week for our Christmas blessing.